Well, thank you very much indeed, Rob. That was absolutely terrific. We really enjoyed that. And don't worry, you're going to hear Rob again before the end. Now, as I was researching the subject of love for this Valentine's evening, I came across the following documents. Grandpa John was celebrating his 100th birthday, and everybody complimented him on how athletic and well-preserved he appeared. "Gentlemen, I will tell you the secret of my success," he cackled. "I have been in the open air, day after day, for some 75 years now." The celebrants were impressed and asked how he managed to keep up his rigorous fitness regime. "Well, you see, my wife and I were married 75 years ago. On our wedding night, we made a solemn pledge. Whenever we had an argument, the one who was proved wrong would go outside and take a walk." Another man was wandering around in a field, thinking about how good his wife had been to him and how fortunate he was to have her. He asked God, "Why did you make her so kind-hearted?" The Lord responded, "So you could love her, my son." "Why did you make her so good-looking?" "So you could love her, my son." "Why did you make her such a good cook?" "So you could love her, my son." The man thought about this. Then he said, "I don't want to seem ungrateful or anything, but why did you make her so stupid?" "So she could love you, my son." And I came across this letter. It reads, "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. and congratulations on winning the lottery." Love is a very complicated thing. We think in our society it's all about sex. We think that love is primarily a feeling. If I feel in love, I will love. If I don't feel in love, I'll walk away. We feel in love, and then we struggle to work out our relationship. So we try and make the feeling come back. And there are thousands of pop songs about that. Contrast Golda. Is it Golda from Fiddler on the Roof? Golda? Looks like Golda to me. Well, Tevier, her husband, a man devoted to tradition, finds his thinking challenged when his oldest daughter wants to marry for love instead of having her marriage arranged by her parents. It had never occurred to him that one would marry for love. And one night he cannot help but ask his own wife the question, in song of course, "Do you love me? Golda, do you love me?" "Do I what?" "Do you love me? You're a fool." "I know, but do you love me?" "Do I love him? For 25 years I've cooked for him, cleaned for him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?" We may question the gender stereotypes, but Golda has understood love. Love is not primarily a feeling. It's an action. I do feel feelings of passionate love for Becca, and I hope she does too for me. But on a wet Monday morning, when we're struggling to get three children to school on time, We don't feel passionately in love. At that point, or at any other point when we're under stress, we love as an act of the will. We decide to love. And we rekindle the passionate feeling by being kind to one another, as well as by doing romantic things. The most important thing, you know, is to marry someone who loves Jesus and who is kind. Because if you get those two things right, the rest will probably fall into place. I want to show you something of the Bible's teaching on love. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I want to show you three things from those verses. Love is a decision, love is costly, and love is to be lived out. Love is a decision, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. Do you see that? The Apostle John says, let us love. We make a decision to love. I will pull my weight in the home. I will be a good father. I will go and see that person when I'd rather watch telly. Whatever it is, you will know where you have to decide to love. I will bother with that person in school that nobody likes. I will obey my parents. I won't force my girlfriend to have sex. You will know where God is challenging you. What is the loving thing to do? Love is a decision. 4 verse 7, love comes from God. God has made a decision to love. God made a decision to create love. God modeled love in the person of Jesus. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. A Christian is someone who's been born again. That means their old life of rebellion against God is dead and gone. That's what baptism symbolizes. Your old life is buried beneath the water, and you are born to a new life in relationship with God, obeying God. And you cannot say, I've been born again, if you do not love. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Don't claim to be a Christian. Don't claim to be born again. Don't claim to know God if you do not love. Because God is love. That's an amazing statement, you know. The Bible never says God is peace, or God is happiness, or God is power. But the Bible says God is love. There is nothing unloving about God. He is never selfish. He is always loving others. And if you are his child, you will be like him. Rob and his wife Frankie know my father. They can verify that I am very like him. I share his body shape. I have a nose which is very similar to his, a very small nose. What are you laughing at? There is no doubt that I am like my father. And this is how it should be with God. God is love. Christians are meant to be love. There should be love in all that we do. If it's not loving, we shouldn't do it. So I say again, the most loving thing you can do for your boyfriend or girlfriend is to help them to keep sex for marriage. That's God's plan. That's what will lead to ultimate happiness. Love is a decision. It's not just being carried away by emotion. Secondly, love is costly. Verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. We think we demonstrate love by sex or by buying flowers, presents, and so on. Sex is great in marriage. Flowers and presents are important. But it doesn't cost me much to walk to the florist and buy flowers. It cost me much more the other day when Becca was ill. And I had to serve her. And that was only for a day, so it wasn't really costly. I have friends who've nursed their partners through cancer, or who've supported their partners through mental breakdown. That's costly love. That's loving when the feeling's gone. And that is a shadow of the costly love of God. God's love cost him his Son. I cannot conceive of any circumstances in which I would sacrifice my Son. I can't imagine doing that. So it looks as though you're safe, Rob. But God did it. This is how God showed his love among us. He gave Jesus to come to earth, to die on the cross, to take the punishment for our sin, so that we might live through him. We might have eternal life. We might go to heaven. Verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. Our love for God is weak. My love for God is weak. I disobey him daily. I fail to please him. Love is what God did, sending his Son as an atoning sacrifice. I read the other day about a small boy who was consistently late coming home from school. His parents warned him one day that he must be home on time that afternoon. But nevertheless, he arrived later than ever. His mother met him at the door and said nothing. At dinner that night, the boy looked at his plate. There was a slice of dry bread and a glass of water. He looked at his father's full plate and then at his father. But his father remained silent. The boy was crushed. The father waited for the full impact to sink in, then quietly took the boy's plate and placed it in front of himself. He took his own plate of meat and potatoes, put it in front of the boy, and smiled at his son. When that boy grew to a man, he said, "All my life I've known what God is like by what my father did that night." That is what God is like. we've done wrong. God has set the punishment, death. But then God has taken the punishment himself in the person of Jesus. That's the definition of costly love. Love is a decision. Love is costly. Thirdly, love is to be lived out. When I lived in Bridgend, in South Wales, I had friends called Mr. and Mrs. Payne. They were members of the Salvation Army, but they used to come to the church I served. Mrs. Payne was nearly blind. Then she had a stroke, and she was forced to go into a home. Mr. Payne would visit her every day on the bus, but on Sundays, there was no bus. So he would walk about 2.5 miles to the home and then walk back, just so that he could hold his wife's hand. And he was 90 years of age. He'd had a heart attack. He could have said it was too much effort to get there on a Sunday. But you see, he believed love should be lived out. He wasn't dependent upon his feelings. This is what John is saying to us. Verse 11, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." In other words, we live it out in our marriages, with our children, in the church. I've seen so much hatred within churches. It's not right. Love is to be lived out. Verse 12, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying God is invisible, but if we love, we make God visible. I saw God when I saw Mr. Payne loving his wife sacrificially. I see God so often when I see members of the church supporting one another. I see God in those who are supporting children through Compassion, the charity which supports children in the developing world. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. I want people to see God living in me and living in you. And his love is made complete in us. That's astonishing. There is nothing incomplete about God's love. But in some way, the love of Christians completes God's love in the world. God loved the world by giving Jesus. Now that love is completed when Christians love in the world. Well, let me wrap things up. Don't settle for our society's view of love. Love is not all about sex. Sex is great in marriage, where there is security and commitment. I want you to find lasting love, like Mr. and Mrs. Payne had. The way to find that is to receive God's love for you personally. Accept that Jesus died for you. Commit yourself to God, and then commit yourself to following God's way. This actually is the way to find friends who really love you, and maybe a life partner who will love you. But of course, God has a real purpose for single people too. And maybe that's God's purpose for you. But certainly, God wants all of us to love others sacrificially. Well, thank you for listening to me. I know you'd rather have listened to Rob. And so he's going to come back now and sing a little bit more to us. Thanks, Rob.